How many do New Year's resolutions? I'm just real serious. Any of you do New Year resolutions? Anybody? You do? All right. Anybody else? You do? Two? Did I see another hand? Is that your resolution? That is so thoughtful. Honest to goodness, did some of you folks give up on them? How many did it in the past? Why aren't you now? I have no idea what you folks are saying. My hearing aids are just not working. No, because you failed at it? So you gave up? How many failed your first driving test? We wish you'd have given up then too. By the way, failure to do does not mean we should not have. I want us to look at a verse here this morning because it's really on resolving some things. But notice chapter 13, verse number 5. What a verse. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Examine yourselves. Interesting phrase. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you today. We have the privilege to gather together. Lord, I pray this morning that you would help us to be utterly honest with ourselves. Lord, I pray this morning that we not just hear some words and let them float away, but oh God, we might take some things to heart. Work in us today. Oh God, have your way and will in this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we're young and we're in school, we have teachers who give us tests. And those tests are given to determine if we have mastered a particular subject or not. Now, in this day of touchy-feely people who are afraid to let anybody fail at anything, why, that causes some problems, but it teaches us from those tests whether we have mastered something or we have not. And if we have not, it means that we need some more study in that particular thing. In 1964, I was considering, let me rephrase it, in 1966, I was considering very heavily, matter of fact, I had already determined that I was going to go into the United States Air Force. And to do so as a career officer, I was at this time in my sophomore year, attending the university over at Omaha, and upon my request, I was with several other young men taken to Offutt Air Force Base and sat through a series of tests. I don't remember, like at least 2 days, I think it was 3 days. We had physical examination. We had psychological tests. We had mental examinations. And for those 3 days, 8 hours a day, I was put through the grill of tests to find out where I was academically, to find out where I was psychologically, to find out where I was at physically. It was really kind of strange because of all the young men that took that test, none passed all of them completely. There was a young man that I was in class with that he wore Coke bottle glasses. I kid you not. And he was nearly blind, but he could see with those. My vision in my one eye is considered legally blind, though it's correctable to 20/20. And so I did not pass that one either, as far as becoming a pilot, which was my dream. I knew that going in, but I was hoping for some kind of miracle. What was strange about that was he and I were the only two that passed the mental exams for that particular thing and the psychological ones. Life's filled with tests. Everywhere we go. Many are so glad to get out of school because no longer are they going to sit down and fill out a test paper and find out what the results is when it's done and feel some embarrassment because some others have done better than they have. But we understand today that tests never stop. We find that God, I believe, puts us through many tests. Tests of endurance, tests of our faithfulness, tests of our resolve, a whole host of others. But I believe probably the toughest test that you will ever endure is if you are willing to do a thorough self-examination, whereby you are totally and completely honest with yourself. The questions nor the answers are not held back. I believe we ought to do that fairly often. Many years ago, as I attended a conference, Dr. Donald Howard, who was he and his wife, basically the author of the Accelerated Christian Education materials we still use in our school, challenged us to go back to our churches and to discover why we did everything we did. He said, ask yourself the question, why do you do what you do? Because it ought to be based upon the Word of God. I even asked, should we have an offering basket? Honest to goodness, I did. And had to search for an answer. That wasn't too hard. But to find out all these things, we ought to do that from time to time. Actually, perhaps fairly often, maybe two or three times a year. And a new year is a good time when we will stop and ask those questions and make some determinations about our life. I believe it will also propel some resolve within. Because most likely there are some things that we look at that we're not too happy with. Some things that are within us that we need to have changed. It's a critical one. When we look at our text here, the Apostle Paul, as he is writing this, is saying, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. They had been questioning the apostleship of Paul, and under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, hang on a little bit. Rather than your examination of others, why don't you start with yourself? Why don't you start with the one that you know best? Ask yourself, are you in the faith? Are you, if you're a Christian and you know you're in the faith, are you living by faith? Are you in the faith? Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And he goes on and says, prove your own selves. Prove your own selves. For the lost person, this is critical. This is critical because without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not saved, and the penalty of sin will be upon them eternally in a place called hell. But oh, thank God for the Word of God that says, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, thinking of that particular verse and what we see about examining ourselves, I'd like to ask three or four questions this morning in this matter of self-examination. What do I believe? What do I believe? You know, there's folks say, well, you just need to have faith, baby. You just need to have the faith. Faith in what or who? First of all, I believe it's most important who you believe. But secondly, what they have to say. What do I believe? Some think that it doesn't matter what you believe. But do we understand this morning that truth is truth? It's not optional. It either is or it isn't. Something is either true or it's not true. And so you and I, if we're going to come to what is it we believe, it needs to be truth. Who wants to trust in a lie? Who wants to trust in falsehood? Who wants to trust in something that is taking them nowhere? Let me think of a truth that we find in the Word of God, and that is the Bible declares there's only one Savior. There's not many. Do we believe that this morning? Or do we believe that there are other Saviors? The Bible says there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me, the book of Isaiah says. Look unto me and be ye saved. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one Savior. There's not many. What we believe is very, very important. You say, but Pastor, I'm a Christian. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. But oftentimes we believe there are other Saviors. So oftentimes we look at the political world and we believe, well, this one's going to be our Savior. Good luck on that one. We look at the educational world and we say, well, this is going to be our Savior. We look at all sorts of different things, think, well, we're going to be saved as a result of this. No, no, there's one Savior. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those who believe that it's not in the Lord Jesus Christ, but how they live. And thus, they do not have a need for a Savior. They believe in their own self-righteousness. Interesting. One who is a believer, by the very nature of the term, believes something that is told of them or something that is read with their very eyes. If we truly have faith in Jesus Christ, then we must believe His book called the Bible. And His Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life. People who have faith in God's word about God's Son, I believe, have a desire for something, and that is to search the Scriptures. Because my Bible tells me, if any man be in Christ, he's a new what? Creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. One of those things is we have a desire for the Word of God. Let me ask you this morning, as we stop and consider and think about, what do I believe? Does the Word of God capture your heart and your thoughts? Is it an exciting book still to you? Is it something that you just can't wait to pick up every day and read of its content? I find myself as a pastor dealing with many of people who have difficulty reading their Bible every day. And some who have very little desire to. Let me ask you something. Is that walking with God? Is that having the right character? Is that in the position of believing the right stuff? By the way, I believe there's a couple of reasons that men don't love the truth of the Word of God. They have not the Spirit of God within to teach them. They're lost. And sometimes the truth of it cuts too much at their pride. I believe sometimes we as God's people don't want to read it because we don't want to hear what God has to say about what we like. We don't want Him changing our minds about some different things. But not only what do I believe, but where have I been? Where have I been? Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Where have I been? In other words, what have you experienced since your professed faith? true belief in the Lord Jesus Christ leads to some very vital experiences. Let me go to the negative side for a moment. Have you experienced your wretchedness? Your depravity? I mean, have you looked and you thought, oh my goodness, can anybody be as bad as me? The Apostle Paul said, I am the chiefest of sinners. Paul was not a drug addict before he was saved. He was not a drunk before he was saved. We normally think of those folks as being the low life of the earth. You know what Paul was? Paul was a religious man. He was a Pharisee. He said, I was the chiefest of sinners. He was so zealous for God, he had a man killed. He was the ringleader at the very first martyr's death, that of Stephen. The Bible says they threw their coats at his feet as they picked up the stones. That meant he was the one standing there with a big judgment upon his face. He said, I'm the chiefest. Have we experienced our wretchedness? Have we experienced the wondrous forgiveness of God? I mean, when we see who we really are and recognize what God forgave us of. I don't know about you, but when that begins to happen, there is a love in our heart that is so wondrous. I mean, have you ever done something to somebody that was just unforgivable and yet they forgave you? The adoration you have for them, and that'd be exactly God. His unconditional love. No matter what we do, God still loves us. Is that in our experience? Or are we so consumed with ourselves that we don't experience these things? Have we experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit of God as He's sought to bring to us comfort to our sin-grieved soul? Comfort in the time of loss. Comfort in the time of sorrow. Have we experienced that blessed presence that only God can bring? Where have I been? What do I believe? How do I behave? Very often, we ask about how some others behave. Very often we make judgments about what they do and what they say and how they react and so forth. But how do I behave? Granted, salvation is strictly by faith. But when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we find He comes to live within. Did you notice in that verse, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is what? In you, except ye be reprobates. The true born-again child of God has the Lord Jesus Christ come to live within. When somebody is in you, you're going to begin to act like them. Just the way it is. I'm glad you two sat here and I can pick on you all the time. How long have you been married now? Year and a half? Does she have some weird peculiarities about her? He's learning not to say she's got weird peculiarities. He's kind of, because you're so close all the time, kind of in, get my picture? When Jesus Christ be in us, it changes our tongues. It changes our actions. It changes our thoughts. If any man be in Christ, he's what? New creature. Okay? If we're in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be changes. Now, this I know. This I know. I look right, Mary, and I'm going to just use Mary for a moment. This I know. Mary's been saved by the grace of God. Believe me, it took a lot of grace. Amen, Q? Lots of grace. And you haven't learned yet what he's learned. You're a slow learner. But you have something else that's still with you. You still have the flesh. You still have that old woman. Boy, I better be careful there, hadn't I? Maybe I better say old man or I'm going to be really in bad trouble. She's got that there still. When we're examining ourselves, are we willing to look and see which one's really operational? Are we willing to look and see, is Christ in me the real emphasis, or is it really me? Interesting. The question is, how do I behave? Is it for God's glory or is it for self-glory? When we have true faith, faith produces works. We are His workmanship, it tells us later in Ephesians, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. James wrote so this way, even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. When you and I believe God, it's going to have some works. But are we willing to look at those and to see, is Christ in us the real operational principle, or is it self? I'm going to tell you what. When we get honest there, it may be some very harsh reality. Where are we at? Where are we at? These spoke of the Apostle Paul and questioned his apostleship, as I had mentioned, but he wants them to examine themselves. What he is saying to them and to you and I is that this judgmental attitude ought to be inwardly long before we seek to go outwardly. We're very quick to judge our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're very quick to see something that takes place in their life and make a judgment on it. But we're not very willing to take the mirror to our own soul and look and see, where am I at with God? What do I really believe? Where have I been? What kind of experience has been a part of my life? What is it that I am doing? How am I behaving? Oh, others might see a few things, but really, to whose glory is it? Is it concern about God or concern about ourselves? I fear if you and I get really, really honest, we'd have to get before God and ask Him to do some forgiving. But oh, thank God we can rely upon the grace of God. The Bible tells me if we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from a little bit of our unrighteousness. Some of our unrighteousness. Most of our unrighteousness. No, He says all of it. Thank God for that. Amen. You and I have the wonderful privilege if we'll be totally honest with ourselves. Now, if you're here today and you're lost, you don't know if you died, you go to heaven. Listen, you need to get honest about this. You need to quit thinking that you are good enough that you just might be able to get into God's presence. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. You need to get your what you believe straightened out here. Because according to the Word of God, I mean, He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've called, I know I'm saved because that's what it says. Have you put your faith and trust in the Lord? You need to look at that. You know, I mean, from time to time, it's good for a Christian to look at that. It gets you excited. And as a Christian, you ought to have even a greater sense of the sin that is in your life than you had before, because now you have the Holy Spirit working even to a greater degree. And what it does is say, hey man, look at this, this, and this. You didn't used to see a sin, and now you see this sin, and God saved me from it. I have an experience realizing the great grace of God. Wow. The forgiveness of God to a greater degree. I've got some experience. If you're saved today, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And in this case, I'm not talking about are you saved with saving faith, but are you living by faith? You know, the Bible says if we're not living by faith, it's sin. If we're living by sight, that's sin. Living by faith. So how can I live by faith? Well, here's an example. God says, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now also remember, if you are praying for it to consume upon your own lust, not for the glory of God, James says you're not going to get it. I believe God answers every prayer of faith. And not with no. I've also found that God doesn't answer it the way I want Him to. Because He says that He will do so exceedingly abundantly above. Now, when we interpret that, sometimes we are so financially minded in America and so materialistic that we don't understand what that sometimes means. Well, I prayed to God He'd give me a Cadillac and He only gave me an old Ford Escort. That was because God knew that you needed that more and it was an exceedingly abundantly above. We don't always understand. But we can live by faith. Amen? We can live believing God. Moment after moment. And you and I need to stop and look way down inside. Is it for God's glory or for me? Which is it? If it's for ourselves, it will be but for a few moments. And it'll be gone. Then you want more, and it'll be gone. But once for God's glory, it's amazing how eternal it is. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You. Thank You that You love us so much. Lord, I pray that as we close out this year, that we take the opportunity to just look back and to examine ourselves. Lord, I know that there will be some things that we look at that they're not very pretty. But, oh God, that we might allow You to just show us those things. That we might confess them. We might be able to know the wondrous forgiveness of God the cleansing, the purity that comes as a result. And oh God, that we might set our motives, our thoughts, all towards You, that You might receive the glory. Lord, no doubt in this room, we're all very guilty of much of what was said this morning, if not all. Lord, for some in this room, there needs to be a time to just come and to bend the knee and bow the head and ask Your forgiveness. For some, there's the need just to come and say, Lord, I'm giving myself completely to You. 2014 is Yours. Here I am, use me. Maybe some in this room need to accept the Savior. Maybe there's other needs here, oh God, that must be met. Lord, I pray in these moments that we might be willing to thoroughly examine ourselves. And oh God, the next few days we might just really take some things to heart. And that we might resolve in our hearts. And Lord, though we have failed in the past, oh God, let it not stop us from resolving to follow You in the future. Bless and work in these moments, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.